Thus far, we read the inspired scriptures this morning. The text for the sermon is verse 13, John 1, verse 13, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. God is big and man is small. Concerning salvation, beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, that statement is not reformed. At least it's not reformed enough. God is great and man is weak. That statement's not reformed either. At least not reformed enough. If you want to be reformed, if you want to be confessionally reformed, if you want to be distinctively reformed, if you want to be thoroughly reformed, then you and I must say, God is everything and man is nothing. God is everything. Man is nothing. Small is something. Weak is something. Only nothing is nothing. Man is nothing. In fact, worse than that, man is a depraved rebel by nature. Great is something. Big is something. But God is not something. God is everything. In fact, God exceeds everything and even our ability to comprehend Him. Man is nothing. God is everything. Nothing less than that is reformed. But we must understand that we do not simply say God is everything and man is nothing, because even the devil can say that. He's a liar, but he can say that. We must say and mean from the heart, God is everything and I am nothing. Nothing. I'm nothing. That's reformed. Now, of course, we are something and something glorious in Jesus Christ, but God as He is of Himself, He's everything. And man as He is of Himself, He's nothing. That's reformed. That's biblical. That's John 1, verse 13. Man is nothing. God is everything. That fundamental principle is brought out in John 1, verse 13, which reveals the very first saving work of God in the sinner, namely regeneration. The emphasis of the text is that in the very first work of sinner, work of God in the sinner, which is a harbinger and a foreshadowing of every saving work to follow, man is nothing and God is everything. Listen to the inspired writer. Which or who were born not of blood, not, that's nothing. Nor of the will of the flesh, nor, that is not, that is nothing. Nor of the will of man, nor, that is not, that is nothing. Which were born not. Man, not. Man, not. Man, not. Nothing. That's the word of God, which were born. Man, nothing, but of God. God, everything. Regeneration makes that so clear. God is everything, man is nothing. This morning we celebrate the sacrament of baptism. The Roman Catholic doctrine of baptismal regeneration is heresy. Baptism does not regenerate. The water sprinkled upon these children did not wash away their sins and cause them to be born again. But baptism points us to and symbolizes the reality of being born of God and into His family, of being incorporated into the covenant, translated into the kingdom, admitted into the church. Baptism signifies that reality. And this morning, out of the holy word of God, we consider the reality to be born of God. Let's do that then, considering John 1 verse 13 under the theme regenerated of God alone. Let's notice first the birth, second the source, and third the life. The word of the text this morning directs our attention to a birth, which were born. The birth of which the text speaks is not the natural physical birth that is common to man. That's made plain because the text continues, which were born not of blood. Except for Adam, who was made of the dust of the ground, and Eve, who was made out of Adam's rib, every human being that lives in the world has been born. Born of blood, born of a woman. Every human being living in the world has a birth date. They were born with a physical, earthly, natural birth. Whether Cain or Abel, whether Jacob or Esau, whether John or Jesus himself, according to the very next verse, he was made flesh. He was born of the Virgin Mary. Whether you or your neighbor or me, every human being who lives on the earth has been born with a physical, natural, earthly birth that is common to man. But that's not the birth of which the text speaks. The text is speaking of a birth that is necessitated by our first earthly natural birth. For by virtue of our first birth, which is common to man, we are by nature dead. Ephesians 2 verse 1 says that we are dead in trespasses and sins. But that death does not mean that we are inactive, for Genesis 6 verse 5 states of natural man that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. In fact, this depravity of nature, according to which we are dead in trespasses and sins, and all we can do is think and will and desire that which is evil, that even precedes our birth. For the inspired psalmist says in Psalm 51 verse 5, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." By virtue of that first natural birth, in which we are born as the sons of Adam, the representative head of the human race who first fell, we are dead in trespasses and sins. And if the only birth a man has is his natural earthly birth, he will forever be dead spiritually. The birth of which the text speaks is not the physical birth, but that birth which is necessitated by the physical birth, a heavenly spiritual birth, which were born, and then take out all the negatives, which were born of God. The text is referring to what we in theology call regeneration. Regeneration means to be generated again. It means to be born again, to be begotten again. And regeneration is that work of God whereby through the Holy Spirit, He takes the resurrection life of Jesus Christ and He implants it into the dead elect sinner, thus making him spiritually alive. That's regeneration. That's the birth of the text. At the moment of regeneration, the Holy Spirit puts life into the man and he's born, whether he's in the womb, whether he's 2 years old, whether he's 50 years old, the moment the Spirit puts that life in an individual, he's alive, he's born with newness of life by the Holy Spirit. That regeneration is a most radical change in a man. It takes place in the very depths of his existence. And even as a baby is not conscious of his physical birth, so the regenerated sinner is not conscious of his regeneration. For regeneration is a most profound and mysterious supernatural work of the Holy Spirit that takes place below the consciousness of the dead elect sinner. To use the language of the canons, Head 3 and 4, Article 11, the Spirit pervades the inmost recesses of the man. He opens the closed and softens the hardened heart and circumcises that which was uncircumcised, infuses new qualities into the will, which though heretofore dead, he quickens. From being evil, disobedient, and refractory, he renders it good, obedient, and pliable, actuates and strengthens it, that like a good tree, it may bring forth the fruits of good actions. This is regeneration. This is the new birth. This is what the text means when it speaks of being born of God. It's that moment the Spirit puts life in the heart of the dead elect sinner. The great importance of regeneration, beloved, is that it is the very first saving work of God in the sinner. That's implied by the word born in the text, which were born. Birth never comes midlife. Birth never comes later in life. Birth is always first. Before a creature can see the world and live in the world and experience all the happenings of the world, he has to be born. And the same thing is true spiritually. Before a man can see anything spiritually, he must be born. Regeneration is first. That's implied and brought out by the connection to the preceding context. The last phrase of verse 12 states, "Even to them that believe on his name, who were born." Before you can believe in God and on the name of God and in Jesus Christ, you must be born. Regeneration is first. Jesus drove this home when he spoke to Nicodemus according to John chapter 3 and said in verse 3, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." You can't see God's kingdom. You can't see the king. You can't believe in him and come to him. You can't see all the realities of the kingdom of God except you be born again. We must be regenerated, and that work takes place first. Now, note very carefully that regeneration is the first saving work of God, and here's the important phrase, in the sinner. There is, of course, election. From all eternity, God chooses who will be saved. He chooses them unto salvation by his eternal sovereign determination. We could call that salvation decreed. Election from all eternity. Salvation decreed. Then there is the cross and resurrection of Jesus Christ, in which he earns all of salvation for the elect. We could call the cross and resurrection salvation accomplished. From eternity, salvation decreed. The cross and resurrection, salvation accomplished. But then there is salvation applied. When the Holy Spirit takes the benefits of the cross according to the decree of election, he takes those benefits and he works them in the elect sinner. And the very first work of the Spirit in the sinner is regeneration, so that he is born of God. There, of course, will be the calling where Jesus says to the sinner, "Come, come unto me." But first, he must be born of God. There will be saving faith in the sinner so that he beholds Jesus Christ and he comes to Jesus Christ. But first, he must be born of God. There will be justification whereby the sinner receives the righteousness of Jesus Christ through faith. But first, he must be born of God. There will be sanctification whereby he loathes his sinfulness and he cleaves unto Jesus Christ and pursues a life of holiness and love for Jesus Christ, follows him, denies himself, takes up his cross. But first, he must be born of God. There will be preservation unto the very end. There will be glorification everlastingly in heaven. But first, there must be regeneration. The very first work of God, the first saving work of God in the Dead Elect Center is regeneration, to be born of God. You all know your birth date. In fact, sometimes we not only know the day on which we were born, we could get it right down to the minute. A man could say, I was born at 10:59 a.m. on October 12th, a number of years ago. We know the birth date that concerns the birth of blood, the birth of our mother. When were you born spiritually? What is your spiritual birth date? When does regeneration take place? When were you born of God? From one point of view, no man could ever know the date of his spiritual birth because, as we said, regeneration is a mysterious work that takes place below the consciousness in the depths of the dead elect sinner's being. But from another point of view, when regeneration takes place in an adult, that regeneration immediately manifests itself in the fruits of it, so that conceivably a man could know when he was regenerated. Take the Apostle Paul, Saul of Tarsus. He was dead. He practiced the Jewish religion above his fellows, all his equals, but he was dead. He didn't love God. He hated God. He didn't love the church. He persecuted the church. He didn't follow Jesus Christ. He hated Jesus Christ. He was dead, spiritually dead. And then one day, as Saul of Tarsus is walking to Damascus, the Lord Jesus of glory in heaven appears to him, and a radical change takes place in Saul, whom we know as the Apostle Paul. At one moment, the Spirit pervaded Paul's inmost recesses and caused him to be born again. And at the same moment, he was effectually called of the Lord Jesus. And at that same moment, he was given faith. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? He believed in Jesus. In one moment, many saving works took place in Saul of Tarsus. And then he gets up and he obeys Jesus and he goes to Damascus to serve Jesus. Paul would be able to tell us the date of his spiritual birth. It's not that he was regenerated as a little child. And then decades later, Jesus appears to him on the way to Damascus and then starts working other saving benefits in Paul, as if the seed could be planted in the ground and it could germinate and be just ready to sprout, but for years and years and years and years, it doesn't come out of the ground. That's impossible. Where there is the seed of regeneration, there will gradually be the manifestation of the fruits of it. Paul was not regenerated in his early years and then given other saving benefits. All those benefits came in that one dramatic moment, so he could tell us when he was born again. But ordinarily, in the line of the covenant, this is a general rule, the elect children of God are regenerated from their infancy. Some may be regenerated already in the womb, like Jeremiah, who was sanctified in his mother's womb, regenerated. Like John the Baptist, who was filled with the Holy Ghost in the womb of Elizabeth. Our children can be born before they're born. Isn't that awe-inspiring? When you see a pregnant woman in the church, her child could already be born of God. If you ask me, when were you regenerated? I would say, I don't know. It must have been in my earliest years because I cannot remember a time when I did not love God and have sorrow over my sin. As far back as I can remember, my earliest years, I've loved God. I don't know when I was regenerated. In my earliest years, maybe in my infancy, maybe already in the womb. And that's ordinarily the way it goes in the line of the covenant in God's church. Regenerated from earliest infancy. And then you see we grow up under the means of grace, the preaching of the gospel, baptism, the reading of the Bible, prayer, psalter singing, Sunday school, education in the Christian school, parental instruction in home, discipline, love, nurture. We grow up under all these means so that the seed of regeneration in us gradually begins to reveal itself so that our little children grow up and we see in them already in their early years a love for God and a sincere sorrow for their sins. That's the seed of regeneration bringing forth its fruit under the means of grace. Not every child, of course, born of believing parents in the line of the covenant is regenerated. Some, like Esau, will never be regenerated. Whether they live in hypocrisy in the church or leave the church and deny Jesus Christ, never regenerated. And though it's not ordinary, others may be regenerated later in life. That can happen in the church. That one is regenerated later in life, goes through his youth and childhood without ever having a sincere love for God and hatred of his sins till later in life. That can happen. Ordinarily, as a general rule, in the line of the covenant, children are regenerated in their earliest infancy. Born of God. That's regeneration. The new birth. Spiritual life. First work. Saving work of God. The dead elect sinner. Underscored in the text this morning is the source of the new birth. That's the emphasis of the text. The source of this birth. Does the new birth with its saving efficacy arise out of man and his will and power, or does the new birth with its saving efficacy arise out of God with his will and his power? From where does the power of regeneration come? Out of what? Out of whom? What is the source? If you take two men, one man is spiritually alive and another man is spiritually dead. What is the source of the strength of that man's spiritual life? What is the power of his regeneration? The emphasis of the text is upon the source of, the power of, the cause of, the explanation for regeneration. And that's brought out in the text by that little preposition of, which could also be translated out of. It's referring to source, which were born not of or out of blood, nor of or out of the will of the flesh, nor of or out of the will of man, but of or out of God. That's the emphasis right there, that little word of. What is the source of regeneration? Not man, but God. That's the revelation. Not man, but God. That the power of regeneration and its saving efficacy is in God and not in man is implied in the doctrine of total depravity. Ephesians 2 verse 1, Genesis 6 verse 5, Psalm 51 verse 5, that's implied right there. If natural man is dead, then of course the source cannot be a natural man. That the source of regeneration is in God and not in man is implied in the text by the word born. No more than a newborn infant has anything to do with his birth and causing that birth, do we have anything to do with our regeneration. But the text is not satisfied with a mere implication as it is derived from the word born. The text is explicit and oft explicit, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Not of blood. Blood is that basic material substance of human beings. Blood. And a man of blood and a woman of blood come together and they produce a child of blood. But a man of blood and a woman of blood can come together and they cannot produce a child of spiritual life. Not of blood. Height might run in the blood. Blonde hair might run in the blood. A temper might run in the blood. Sin does run in the blood. Grace never runs in the blood. Not of blood. Nor of the will of the flesh. Flesh there does not necessarily refer to the inherent sinfulness of man, but flesh refers to his bodily constitution. Man's flesh. And in the scriptures, flesh always emphasizes man's weakness. He's of the flesh. And now of his flesh, he has this will. He has a want. He has a desire. He has his wishes. The will of the flesh. Regeneration does not find its source in the will of the flesh. As a matter of fact, the will of the flesh cannot even affect earthly conception and birth, as some know from painful experience. The will of the flesh can't even bring about a physical birth. Then how much less spiritual birth? Not of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man. Man there does not refer to a human being. Man there refers to a male in distinction from a female. The male was made first. The male is the strongest of all the creatures. The male rules. The male has headship. Throughout history, the male has been crowned king, and he's conquered lands, and he's exercised dominion. The will of man is strong, but absolutely powerless to affect the new birth. Not of the will of man. Regeneration is not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man. It is very striking, beloved, that the text calls our attention to the will. We may not miss that. The text calls our attention to the will. The text does not tell us that regeneration as to its source is not of man's power, though that's true. But the text is telling us that regeneration as to its source is not of the will. Man has no will to affect regeneration. No man can desire regeneration for himself. Think about that. That's an astounding statement and made with the greatest care and on the basis of the text. Apart from which, would not be able to stand. No man can desire regeneration for himself. We desire more faith. We desire forgiveness. We desire sanctification. We desire God Himself. I have one desire. We desire Jesus Christ and the everlasting kingdom. But there's one thing we cannot desire, and that is regeneration. If you sincerely desire regeneration, that's the proof you've already been regenerated. And then your desire is most peculiar. It's odd. You don't have to desire it. You already have it. If you have not been regenerated, then you're dead. And you can't desire regeneration. It's impossible. It'd be easier for a man in the coffin to desire to be made alive and say to the mortician, can you give me the phone? I want to call 911 and be resuscitated. It'd be easier for the dead man in the coffin to want physical life than it would be for the dead sinner to want to be regenerated. You can't want to be regenerated, for we are dead. It is not of the will of man. The text, therefore, reduces to nonsense the Arminian notion of decisional regeneration. I was born again when I accepted Jesus Christ into my heart. See, the Arminian recognizes that regeneration is of God and will say that. Regeneration is of God, and what he means is it's of God's power. I can't regenerate myself. I have no power to regenerate myself. God must regenerate me because regeneration is of God. But I want it. I desire it. I pray for it. I seek it. It is my will to be regenerated. I don't have the power because it's of God, but I want to be regenerated. The Word of God says, not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man. Regeneration is not of man's will. That's reformed. That's biblical. That's John 1 verse 13. Not of man nothing, but of God everything. For God is everything. So then, beloved, regeneration is not of father, it's not of family. Abraham and Sarah are regenerated. They have spiritual life. They have blood. And they bring forth this son, Isaac. Isaac, you have Abraham and Sarah's blood coursing through your veins. But that's not the source of your regeneration. That won't regenerate you. And when you bring forth Jacob and Esau, your blood will not be the source of their regeneration. And Esau's the proof. Blood can't do it, not of blood. So Abraham's your father. So your dad's a minister. So your father's reckoned to be one of the most pious and godly men in the church. So you have a family name, which is a name of renown for generations in the church. It doesn't matter for regeneration because the saving efficacy of regeneration is not of blood. It's of God, not of father, not of family. Regeneration is not of boyfriend. It's not of girlfriend. No man, no matter how godly he is, can take an unbelieving, unregenerate woman and by his influences cause her to be born again. No woman, she may be the most pious, godly young woman in the church, can take an unbelieving, unregenerate man and by her good influences cause him to be born again. If the ground for dating an unbeliever is the believer's determination, I will convert him through my good influences, I will convert her through my good influences, then the word of God this morning is the sledgehammer which reduces that ground to rubble, not of blood, not of the will of your flesh, not of the will of you, man, but of God. Regeneration is not of the minister. It's not of the elder. It's not of the teacher. I can talk till I'm blue in the face, but I cannot affect regeneration. I can use all manner of moral suasion. I can plead like a dying man to dying men, but will never produce regeneration in one person. No man can. Regeneration is not of the church. It's not of her baptism. Regeneration did not work. Baptism did not work regeneration this morning. In fact, Reformed theology insists that regeneration conceived of in its most narrow scope as that first saving work of God in the sinner is immediate. Not mediate. Mediate means with means. Immediate means without means, and that includes primarily the preaching of the gospel. Regeneration is immediate. It is worked apart from the preaching of the gospel because it is worked by the Spirit, as Jesus teaches Nicodemus in John chapter 3, who worketh when and where and how he pleaseth. Not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man, but of God. Regeneration is not of the psychologist, the social reformer, the clinic, the scientist, or the doctor. And regeneration is not of father and mother, the parents. In all the earth, there may be no desire and will so strong as the will of a believing father and mother for the salvation of their child, and that son or daughter be born of God. That will is incredibly strong, but father and mother are absolutely powerless to affect regeneration. Father can plead and mother can sob as together they pour out their hearts in passionate persuasions, but they cannot affect regeneration. For it is not of blood, it is not of the will of the flesh, it is not of the will of man. Not of man. Regeneration is of God alone. Is not the simplicity and at the same time the comprehensiveness of the text just lovely? Which were born of God. So simple. But yet so comprehensive. The text does not say which were born of the will of God and leave out his power. The text does not say which were born of the power of God and leave out his will. But the text simply says which were born of God. All that God is, which were born of God, only of God alone. Regeneration is of God alone because only God elects the sinner unto salvation. Election, salvation decreed. Regeneration is of God and God alone because God's the only one who provides Jesus Christ to be crucified and raised from the dead on the third day with a new heavenly, spiritual, immortal, imperishable life. God provided the Word incarnate. John 1 verse 14, who would become flesh for us in our salvation. God provided him, the one who would give to us our new life, salvation accomplished. God provided Jesus. Regeneration is of God because God is the one who provides the Holy Spirit, who then takes that life of Jesus Christ and sovereignly works it in the heart of the dead elect sinner. Regeneration is of God. The heart is changed by the will and power of God. New life is given by the will and power of God. When God wills to regenerate, he will regenerate. No one can stop him. His grace is irresistible. If God wills to regenerate, there will be new life. If God does not will to regenerate, then there will be no new life. And no man can force his will. Regeneration is of God, his will and his power. The God of all and infinite grace, the God of everlasting mercy, the God of boundless love, the God of faithfulness to his covenant promises. Regeneration is of God. The very first saving work of God in the sinner, which is a foreshadowing of everything that will follow in the sinner, is of God. That's the word of God to us this morning. Not of man. Man is nothing. God is everything. The source of regeneration, the power of regeneration is of God. If regeneration were dependent upon the will and work of man, or upon some external means, then the salvation of the infants of believers, especially their unborn infants, would be impossible. If regeneration, as to its source, must be explained in some way by the will and work of man, or external means, then when a little baby in the womb of believers dies, salvation for that baby is impossible. Who was there to persuade the baby with moral suasion? How was the baby brought under the preaching of the gospel or catechized? He wasn't. She wasn't. But the unborn and the little babies of believers who die in the womb can be saved because they can be regenerated. And they can be regenerated because regeneration does not depend upon man, but upon God alone. And as he worked in Jeremiah and John the Baptist, so he can work in our unborn infants, so that though they may never be born of a woman, they may be born of God, which is far better. Regeneration is of God alone. If we are born of God, as the text states, then there will be a life that reflects such a birth. There's no calling in the text. There's no command. There's no imperative. Certainly, there's no command, be born again. Be regenerated. There's no command. All the text does is set forth a glorious reality, which has everything to do with God. And if there is that reality, there will then necessarily be a certain life born of God. There will be a life. First of all, if we are born of God, we will love and live for God. We're born of Him. It's obvious that many people in the world have not been regenerated because they don't love God. They don't live for God. If we've been born of God, love Him and live for Him. And we do. Secondly, because we are born of God, we will believe in Him and His Son, Jesus Christ. That's the connection of the context. Even to them that believe on His name who were born of God. It's obvious many people in the world have not been regenerated because they don't believe in Jesus for salvation. If we are born of God, then we will believe on His name, and His name is Jehovah, revealed as Jesus. We will believe. We do. Third, because we are born of God, we will hope in and pray to God for our children. We can't affect regeneration in our little ones. There's nothing we can do. Not even the will of man is able to affect regeneration in a little child. But there is something we can do. Since our children are born of God, we hope in Him and we pray to Him and we hold Him to His covenant promises. And we plead, save them, Lord. Give them the Spirit. We hope in and pray to God. Since we are born of God. Fourth, because we are born of God, we live in supreme confidence. Among all the men of the earth, who ought to have more confidence than the prince? The prince of the kingdom. He has the blood of the king coursing through his veins. He lives in the security and comfort and wealth of the palace. Who should have more confidence than the prince of the kingdom? Who should have more confidence than us? For we are born of God. We have His life in us. That is the life of Jesus Christ. And that life can never die, as Jesus told Martha, whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. We will die physically. We don't know when. Maybe tonight, maybe next week, maybe 20 years from now, we will die physically. With respect to the birth we had of blood of our mother, spiritually born of God, we cannot die. We will never die. Not tomorrow, not 20 years from now. We can't die. Our children can't die. Born of God. No matter what happens. No matter if the Antichrist comes and all the gates of hell are against God's church, and not only the church as some body, but the individuals, and against the little children of the church, they can't die. No man can kill them because they're born of God. They have a life that will go on everlastingly into heaven. Born of God, we have supreme confidence. Born of God. Fifth and finally, because we are born of God, we will with self-effacing humility praise Him forever. If we caused our own regeneration or another person's regeneration, perhaps that of our children, in some way with just a little bit of our will or a little bit of our power, then we have the right to boast, and we know our flesh, we sure would. We would boast and boast and boast. If we could affect regeneration in just a little way, we would boast. But we did not. We cannot. It is not of man. And therefore, with self-effacing humility, we will praise God now and forever because we are born of Him. And we will say in sincerity and in truth, I am nothing. That self-effacing humility, I am nothing. And into all eternity, God is everything. Of myself, nothing. Nothing. I'm glorious in Jesus Christ. You're glorious in Jesus Christ. Of myself, nothing. God is everything. Born of Him, I will praise Him forever with my children because He's the God of the covenant. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, thy glory reaches beyond the clouds, beyond the heavens. Thou art all glorious in thyself, and in thy sovereign work of regeneration, thou dost manifest thy everlasting, infinite glory. We will praise thee, for we are born of thee alone. Receive our praise for Jesus' sake. Amen.